Every time I talk about my research, I find out that most people don't know what a frangipane is, and I didn't know what it was either until I went to Kentucky and figured out that we've got a real problem there. And this is a frangipane. This right here is the A horizon, the topsoil, the subsoil, and this is the frangipane below this. This right here, this 2 feet of soil was blown in here several thousand years ago. And there was an existing profile down here. And the interface between those two is where the frangipane formed. And basically, it was a cement. The frangipane, there was a gel formed, aluminum silicate, a gel formed, and it bound one soil particle to another soil particle to another soil particle. When you look at the cross-section of it, there's no water, there's no roots that move through the reddish-brown parts of this cross-section. You get some roots and some water moving through the gray, but nothing through the other part. So it really affects, it's not like a rock, though, because it's soil particles that are bound together and solidified. And so if you can break that cement, then you can increase the soil depth and you can have a deeper, more productive soil. And this is, in 2012, we had a severe drought, and we had about a 2.5-inch rain, and we got a lot of water in this pit in the frangipane soils that I had there for educational reasons. And this is 3 weeks later. It's still there. I mean, the water does not move through this stuff. This is where frangipanes are. You have to have, when you were forming that aluminum silicate, you have to be in an acid environment. So you don't have frangipanes in the western part of the United States. It's mainly in the eastern part of the United States. And this is where it is, Kentucky. The Mississippi River runs through here. The Ohio runs through there. The winds blow from this direction. So that's the deposits that came and filled in our last. We had several deposits, but the last one was that 2 feet I showed you before. And so we have about 3 million acres of this soil in Kentucky. We have about 50 million acres in the United States. And that cemented layer that we just talked about that's below the topsoil and the subsoil, it's about 2 to 4 feet thick. It's a cemented by aluminum silicates, can be some iron in it, can be some manganese in it. The average depth to the pan, the average depth of rooting that you have above that is about two feet. And as we said, it stops root growth, it stops water movement, and of course it limits the water availability, and it's a shallow soil. And so you have problems with too much rain in the wintertime and reduced yields. So we can fly an airplane without a pilot. We can transplant a heart. Why can't we do something about this frangipane? Why can't we change it and make something better? So in 2012, these four people band together and decided they would give it a try and see what they could do. Now, you have to remember that we're starting from nowhere. We're like in a dark room searching for a pencil or something. You don't even know quite where to start, okay? And so we decided that we would do it. This approach, we'd had a trial that's called a slaking trial, and then we would see what would break apart the frangipane, and if it looked promising, we'd go to the greenhouse, and if all those looked promising, we would go to the field. And this is the greenhouse work. You take the hardest part of the frangipane, about the size of your fist, and you introduce different chemistries, different extracts from plants, things that are commonly used in agriculture that might break apart this. And then 30 days later, you look and see what happened, and a lot of them, most of them are like that. Once in a while, you have a hit. And we've got four agricultural chemicals that will break it apart, and we have one plant that will break it apart that we have found at this point over those several years of looking. Now, you still have to get that plant roots. That plant has to go down to the frangipane. And you still have to get these chemistries down to the frangipane. This is some of the, this just shows you a lot of different plants that we used. And if you've got a real low number down here, that means it broke it apart. This is the average, this is the size of those little pieces that fell apart. And if it stayed a real big piece, this is the number up here. So most of the time, we didn't get anything. Like I say, once in a while, you come up with a hit down here, as we did with potassium chloride and potassium sulfate. And then the one thing that we can hang our hat on right now is ryegrass, annual ryegrass. It definitely has chemistry in it that will break that apart. And we just recently got into humates, kind of in through the back door. We were lucky enough to find those, and we worked with Dan and Dana to help us there. They've been very helpful to us. And we got a group of humates here that was sent to us, and I think you helped us on this. And you can see here, this one right here. Now, that's not a humate. That is powdered calcium carbonate. That's it raised the pH quite rapidly, and it made a difference. This is the one I want you to remember. This one made a somewhat of a difference, and this one right here. Now, this is just water, and usually that comes up in here somewhere, but for some reason we got a weak clod or two and it fell apart. But that's not a true measure because that's our standard. But this right here showed more promise in the greenhouse than anything else here. But in our laboratory work, it didn't show anything. So what we're doing is not perfect, but it helps. Now, this is a core of that profile that I showed you earlier. We can take cores about 2 inches across, and this is the topsoil, the subsoil, and right here starts the frangipane. And so what we'll come down here somewhere, we know we got a good solid frangipane, and we'll cut it off, and we'll take that part right there where all we have is a frangipane, and we'll place them in these holders, and then we will treat the very top of that with a lot of different materials. Some that's shown promise in the laboratory, but will it do it like this? And when we did that, it stays there for about 3 or 4 months, and we keep it moist and as if it would mineralize and materialize there in the greenhouse. And we had a bunch of treatments here. And I've just picked out the ones that's germane to this presentation, but here's control and ryegrass residue, both the shoots and the roots, and the ryegrass residue plus the humate. This is the Minifit humate. And we leave that in those cores for 3 to 4 months, and then we will push a penetrometer down through there. And if it remains hard, the penetrometer won't go very deep. And if some of the cement has dissolved, then it'll push further into that. This just shows you that on our first try with this Minifit, and I don't know much about humates. I'm just trying to solve a frangipane, so I don't know what a Minifit humate is, if someone can help me out there. But it's granulated. A farmer from Ohio brought it down to us. He sells some of it. He was excited about it, and I didn't believe it. It would do anything, but he was a good guy, and he was excited, and so I could go ahead and do that, and I'm thankful that I did, you know. But anyway, this is the average penetration with three penetrations per reading here. It was a significant increase. It was exciting to see something that was that different for us. And so after that, made contact with Dan and Dana. And they made it get us in contact with people in the industry, and so we ran some more of these trials there, and as we did in the greenhouse, as we did in the laboratory, and there's a difference between the laboratory and the greenhouse here on these trials. But again, this is that raw leonardite. I don't know how you say it, but anyway, it's the best one here. This is a control less than an inch. This is the raw one that doesn't show good in the laboratory, but it does here. And probably in the laboratory, we probably need to do an extraction method before we introduce it into those jars. Then this one right here is the super. It showed good in the laboratory. If we can change the pH significantly, we can make a difference. And then I think it's this one right here that also showed good in the laboratory, and it had decent showing here in the greenhouse. It shows some promise, and if it does that in the greenhouse, then we apply some of this mixture to the top of the profile a topsoil, subsoil, and frangipan beginning here that we take. It's in situ. We take it just as it comes out of the core. It's in these plastic sleeves. And then we grow plants in it. And ryegrass will almost always be one. So here we have ryegrass, and then we have soybeans, and then we'll grow another cycle. Every time we have ryegrass, we treat with this every watt treatment we have. And this, in this case, it was Menifee, and then we're also having Lunardite there. This is the control. This was like 60, 100 years of fescue. We took that sample, and this had the same place, but then we grew what I was just telling you, ryegrass, soybeans, and every time we had ryegrass, we introduced our Menifee humate. And this is the top part. This is the bottom of the subsoil. This is the frangipan, and there's a difference between this control and this right here. And it goes down to about 7 inches, the difference does. And if you look at it close, this is the control, this is the frangipan, the control, and this is the treated frangipan, the control. You have a structure that's formed here. It's no longer cemented together as it was before. You have a structure. And not only do you have a structure, you have roots growing into the structure and out of the structure. So it's very encouraging to us that this might be one of the possible solutions to that frangipan, which is a huge problem in the eastern part of many parts of the United States. Then we go to the field. If we get results in those two places, we go to the field. Excuse me. Whoops, that's the wrong thing. And what we have found is that as we grow ryegrass as a cover crop, that the yields with the cover crop ryegrass compared to just no tillage, we tend to increase our yields. And the best one we've got is this one right here, which is a field in southern Illinois that we were lucky enough to find Junior Upton, who has had annual ryegrass for 15 years as a cover crop, and then he grew corn. And 15 years. And when we compared the yields for his field each year with the average yield of the county for that year, what we found was that at first his frangipan soil yielded less. But as that frangipan soil began to change, and it's attested to, the change is attested to by digging into the profile and looking at that compared to a control right there beside the field. There's a totally different profile, soil profile. We see a yield increase. But it takes time. It's slow. It takes time. And but the yields are big. The changes are big. Now, we're only in our second year in the field with humates. This is no ryegrass, just the control. And then same thing with humates. And we had corn last year. This is this year's soybeans. And there's not a significant difference. There's a small numerical increase, but it's certainly not not significant. And then this year with ryegrass as the background, there was no difference. We're not too concerned about the fact that there's not differences now, but in 5 years, 6 years after we start, we would want it. So you look for yield differences, and another thing you look for is profile differences. Are we changing the profile? You can change the profile and not increase the yields every year. And as we look at that right now, we don't see a lot, but the only promising thing we have on that is the fact that these four treatments that I just kind of talked to you about, that you have a horizon, which is the topsoil, and below that you have a B horizon, what we call a BT. And then as you approach the frangipan, that very first slide I showed you, kind of a whitish material, that's a glossic E, and that's a transition zone. That's where the frangipan is being changed, because the frangipan is naturally breaking down, and if we have a couple thousand years, we'll be pretty good off. But right now, we don't have that time. Right? So we're looking to see if that glossy key increases, and This is looking at it and with preliminary results with a hand probe, and it appears that it possibly is, but the frangipane is so variable, and that's a real problem with working the frangipane. There's tremendous variability from one place to the other, so the difference has got to be large, or you've got to have a whole bunch of observations in order for it to be significantly different. And at this point, it's not, but there is hope that maybe it's beginning. He said, I had 4 minutes, and I'm completely through. So, is there a question or two?
Well, we got 4 minutes for questions. But we only have one speaker left, so.
Yes.
I just wondered if you tried any surfactants and adjuvants. I'm guessing you've tried all of those.
We've tried surfactants, we've tried adjuvants, we've tried a lot of things and with our slaking trials in the laboratory. Of course, they're not 100%, so we don't know, but you've got to start somewhere and you've got to eliminate something. But we've tried almost most common agricultural chemicals that are available. And there's not many that work. Yes.
So breaking up the frangipane, we're assuming it's a population effect. Were you monitoring pH and some of the free calcium that was coming as a result?
In the laboratory, we are. Yeah. Haven't begun in the greenhouse, those things that I'm showing you that we're growing. On the small cores that we talked about, I've done some of it, not a whole lot. On the large cores that we're growing in several cycles, we really haven't done much of an analysis on those yet. We're trying to accumulate cycles before we destroy our cores, which is all we have. You know, we want to get enough of them. But yeah, we are doing it in some cases. Yeah.
Have you tried any other probe that can have a duplication effect? Because the only difference I can see to the urinary bag pretty well versus the other coolant, to me, it's more the lubrication. If you ever touch urinary bag, it's a graphite. It's extremely lubricated. It actually is used for drilling wells. So it will be interesting if that effect can be observed also with other type of lubricants. That makes sense because it allows the root to penetrate, because allowed to go against the force. And once the root goes penetrate, it grows, it can break anything inside.
So I appreciate that. I haven't tried anything, but I appreciate the observation and the suggestion. Thank you.
I did have a question on this. How did you determine the rate of the humate that you applied, and did you try any other rates in comparison?
Yeah, I was afraid somebody asked that question. best I can tell, in the Menifee, the farmer that gave it to us using 150 pounds per acre. That was his recommendation. And it only gets one shot for us, or it's out. And so I increased that to 500 pounds, just because I wanted to make sure if it's going to work. But I found out today that maybe too much is too much. Some cases.
Well, especially at its cost, you know, if you're putting 500 pounds of that on, and it takes you 6 or 7 years for that to work, where does the cost, you know, come into that?
I agree with what you're saying totally, but we don't have anything to go on. We're just trying to find things.
This has been one of the more exciting presentations.
And so if we can find a thing that's very helpful, then we can define it. We can do a better job of defining what it needs to go. But right now, it is a thing. It's one of the few things.
Okay. Well, our time is up. You'll have to find him
Thank
later,
because
it was an interesting presentation.